Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night segment of Let's Talk for Work. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A change is going to come, y'all. But unfortunately, I do not have the rights to that music. Also, tonight we want to ask you to click, tag, share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. Again, click, tag, share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to talk about the topic, Fort Worth, where are the voters? And what will it take to get them to the polls? What will it take to get them to the polls? We know early voting is going on right now, and it will run through the 27th. There are 726 polling places throughout Tarrant County. If you have any questions about where you can go vote, you can go to tarrantcounty.com to get more information, or you can call 817-884-1111. That's 817-884-1111. 1111. If you have any questions about where you can go and vote right now. And we all know Election Day is May 1st. So let's make this a historic election. Let's have some fun with it. We talked about we want change. Let's go to the polls and make it happen. Also, y'all, tonight, I want to remind you that May 1st, election night, we're going to be here. Let's Talk Fort Worth is going to be on the air from 7:30 to 9:30, bringing in the election results. We I think the polls, if I'm not mistaken, close at 7. So we're going to start at 7:30. So get some snacks, get comfortable, and we're going to talk about the election results. All right, y'all, let's get at it. I got a panel with me tonight, y'all. I got Eddie Griffin, a local activist, here with me. I have Elizabeth Roper. Y'all know she's a small business owner. She's also a local activist, and if you watch city council meetings, you definitely would have seen Elizabeth down there on the floor giving them hell. And also we have Bob Willoughby with me tonight. Bob, y'all know, is running in District 5, and he's also a merchandiser here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So let me find everybody on the phone line tonight, and let's get started. I see Eddie Griffin. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, no problem. I see Elizabeth on the phone. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Hi. I'm so glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. And I see Bob Willoughby. Good evening, Bob.
Oh, can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. Hello there.
Okay, you
got
some noise?
All right. Well, I'm trying to figure out. No, am I giving you feedback, you think?
Yeah, somebody, I didn't hear it until we opened your line. Okay, that's good. There goes again. Okay, that's
I do hear what you're talking about. I hear what you're talking about, but I don't know what to do about it if it's here. Unless it's
it
my
is in your background.
Let me just shut down my computer and see if I didn't have something to do
with
it.
Yeah, I think it is your computer. It would be your computer.
Maybe.
Okay,
I'll shut it down completely so it won't – we'll see if that helps clear this up.
Yeah, I think that's what's giving a feedback. So, y'all, we're talking about these elections, and the election numbers are coming in, and we have been watching them day by day, almost hour by hour. Okay. You got it? You for a second while you get back.
Okay, it's not showing –
okay, that's not. I isolated Bob, and that's not Bob. Okay. Elizabeth, is that your background?
It's
that's not
working up over here.
Well, someone apparently, and we may have a lot of. Someone's got something on, I guess. I don't think it's my computer.
Okay.
I don't think.
I isolated Bob and Elizabeth, and it wasn't there. Is that yours, Eddie?
Yes, I'm with you.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Okay. Yeah, it's your background. It's your background, Eddie. When I isolated your background, the noise was coming from yours. Can you mute whatever the noise in your background is? Eddie,
okay.
That's your background.
Did that do it?
Yeah, that did it.
Sounds
okay.
Like it.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yours.
Okay.
Okay. Listen, y'all, I've been watching these polling numbers almost like by the hour, I'm upset. I hear the noise again. Is that
I know
your
it.
TV or
something?
Is that your TV?
Carrie, do you have the power to mute everybody out until – can you control who you let on each time?
Let me mute everybody until I finish the
– see if that helps.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's see if that helps. Okay, so y'all listen, I've been watching these polling numbers almost like hourly. I'm like obsessed, I can't help it. And that said, I'm watching the numbers and I'm surprised. And what I'm seeing is we're really like low, in my opinion, for the population that we have. And so on the 19th was the first day of voting, early voting, and we had 6,677 people that went out on day one, which was April 19th. We noticed that on April 20th, we had 7,217. April 21st, we had 7,379. April 22nd, which was yesterday, we had 7,399. And today, we had 8,448. Now, I called the Election Commission today to make certain I understood how to isolate Fort Worth from Tarrant County because we're under the umbrella of the Tarrant County Election Commission. And they're reporting on their records. If you look on their website, they're talking numbers somewhere like 1,173,000, I think is the count that they're giving. But that's not the Fort Worth count. There's actual numbers for Fort Worth voters. And what we have for Fort Worth voters are 444,051. So that's the pool, y'all, of active voters. And then there's something they call those that are in suspense. That's 27,615. So of that, that came to a total of like 472,666 people. And I asked about the people that were in suspense. Those are people that they consider, I guess something happened where they sent you out maybe a new registration card, voter registration card, and maybe it came back, maybe you moved, something happened somewhere, and they have lost connection with you in terms of how to locate you. So you are still eligible to vote. You just have to correct that information, I guess, when you go to the polling place. So all 472,666 people are eligible to vote. So I want to be clear on that. So tonight I want to, okay, somebody still got some noise in their background. Do we know who that
is?
Yeah,
it came back.
Okay.
There we go.
Is that you in? Okay. Okay. So, y'all, we have 472,666 people. And we got a whole bunch of candidates. So do we still go and basically throw our nets at the same 4%, or do we go out and extend our nets and go try to get the other 96% of the people that are not coming to the polls? And so I don't know what that's going to take to make happen, but that's where we're going tonight, panel. How do you go and get that other 96% that are not coming to the polls? Because looking at these early numbers, it still doesn't look like those people are coming out. So let me open up everybody's phone lines back and let's talk about it. Eddie, are you, let's see, did we fix your problem? Okay, that's better. So what do y'all think? How are we going to get them to the polls, Elizabeth?
You know, I really don't have the answer for that. I mean, you know, I've got ideas of little things I can do in my little world, but, you know, I'll tell you what happened that disappointed me, though. My precinct chair was all excited about the locals, and he had a conversation with me. He was, you know, walking his dog, and, you know, and I petted the dog, and we just talked about how exciting this all is and everything. And, you know, we started a little Facebook chat, and we've got this little Facebook page. How are we going to get people excited? Well, it seems to me that and this is just in my neighborhood, that, you know, he's dropped the ball. Now, I know that it's a nonpartisan election, but it really got me to thinking, you know, I don't have any felonies. Maybe I could be a precinct chair, you know, because it just seems to me that there was a lot of enthusiasm in that initial conversation, and I was willing to put the legwork in or do, you know, whatever it takes to get people excited. And it seemed that I had tapped into someone that had the means to do that. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe there are areas where the precinct chair is, you know, for whichever party you may or may not be a part of. That's something, but you know, the thing is though, that's not good this time around. That's good next time around. Now we, there's a little, group of us in my, neighborhood association that I communicate with, and we're going to try to get people from the senior citizens community, people that don't have rights to the poll. We're going to try to get them down there. And I'm willing to fill up my car with folks. I'm willing to pay for gas, whatever it takes to do that sort of thing. But when it comes to a bigger picture, I'm really, really concerned. I'm really concerned, you know, especially with the great numbers that we had in the national elections, you know?
Wow. I agree. So. But Willoughby, how are we going to get them to the polls?
Hi. Can you hear me, Carrie? I mean, can
we
hear me now?
We
okay,
can.
Yeah. Well, what I was working on, what I'm hoping we'll be working on for the next couple of years, is voter education, is how to get them to the poll here. You got to let them know what's going on. The city won't let them know. And if you let people that don't know what's going on, they might get mad like I did and got involved. You know, anything that makes you mad can make you maybe get them involved enough to vote. And they're doing enough down there to really make you mad. So what we're working on is what I want to work on for the next 24 months is voter education. Just like I've said at City Council, we have a billboard up right now on Highway 30. It says, "Welcome to Fort Worth, the modern West." And if this is the modern West, I'd really rather have the old West. But that billboard should have on there Election Day, May 1st. That billboard should have had on there when to sign up to even run for office. That billboard should have on there when early voting started. That billboard should have on there the bond, 22 bonds coming up to know about, information to call. It should have about the charter. It should have information that is useful to the citizens and not welcome to Fort Worth. They're catering to developers and builders. They're selling it. That's what they're doing. They're welcoming people in, selling us out. We're understaffed in police, and we're getting overstaffed in council members by what's going on. That's another thing. Redistricting should be on there. And that should be on there because that's going on right now. And people should be really up in arms about that. I mean, to pay out another couple $100,000 a year for two more council members while we're over 200 police understaffed, and that just doesn't add up for me. Like I've been saying, there's still time to do it. I have been at council several times since we passed it on. Well, we didn't really pass it on the charter. It was voted on during the charter. It was Proposition 2. Wasn't advertised. We didn't have anybody. 1% of the population voted for two more council members. 1%. That's all that voted for it. I've been yelling, put it back on the ballot. Let's put it on a billboard. As a matter of fact, that's what I want to do in the next day or two. I want to put it on Next Door and just ask people around me, knowing the fact that we're over 200 police understaffed and it's going to cost us a couple $100,000 a year. If we put it on the ballot to add two more council members, would you vote yes or no? I'd like to know. So I'm going to try to do that on the next few days at Next Door and try to get some response and see what people think on their own. But that's what I think needs to be happening. It needs to be put on a billboard, advertised, and that $200,000 could go to a lot more important things than that, I think. But also, another thing that's hurting our elections big time, we're being taken over with, is the Star-Telegram, the Police Association, and the firefighters. This is undermining our election big time. I just sent something out, and I put it on my FWDistrict5.com, which I got from someone gave it to me, but the person that found this information was, I believe her name's James. She's running District 5. She's she's running against me. So should I give her this credit? Maybe I'd be quiet about it and I'd be like City Council. No. Wow. She found this information, and we appreciate her bringing that too. And that's what we need. We need people that will start digging in these files, and it's on my website at FWDistrict5.com. There's a screen of it. And it's the CCP funding for police. And it shows a list of things where the money's going to, like cameras or stuff like that, which is all within reasonable, okay? But you get down at the bottom, you see one thing that says elections, $500,000. So I sent this show out to council members. I have a 300 email list I sent out to. I put it on Next Door, the show, and everything out there, hoping that, and I got some emails back already, people going, what is this? So what I was hoping tonight, if someone is listening out there that knows what this is and wants to look at it on my website, fwdistrict5.com, and see if you can make sense of this, but I don't understand why the police budget has election $500,000. But nevertheless, if this has a legitimate reason, whatever, that's fine. It still does not entitle them to be buying candidates like they do. The Star-Telegram in 2015 used to advertise all the candidates. They would publicize all and let the people know. And that's the way a paper is supposed to work. If it's going to have the name of Fort Worth on it, it should work that way. They started endorsing, and now I get this thing in the mail saying, you know, we want to interview and so we can make a pick of who we think should be council member, you know. And that's just baloney. They know what they can do with that. The citizens, they should be publicizing that. And the reason why they do this, they get money from the city. A couple $100,000 a year to put advertisements in the Star-Telegram that are not necessary to do anymore. But anyway, so they endorse and dump incumbent candidates, keep them in, they get the money, and it goes around like that. That's wrong. Also, But they do one thing. The California-owned Star Telegram does one thing. It goes to the motions of make look. They'll interview all the candidates, at least. They do interview them, okay? Even though we know who it's going to be, the fix is in, all that. But it, in paper, it makes it look like they're doing the procedure. The Fort Worth POA and the firefighters don't even bother doing that. They don't interview candidates. They already know who they're going to select. And they give hundreds of thousands of dollars. They get signs up. Gina Bivens, they got her up to the firefighters asking to vote for her. And I've got signs right by them. I have my own sign machine, and I was ready for them this year. I made signs right by them. I'm calling them a special interest group, masquerading under the name firefighters and POA, under police. They're masquerading under police and fire departments, what they're doing. They're masquerading under those names. Those names are titled to decent departments. They shouldn't be done like they shouldn't be attached to this. This is really wrong. And that, but that's what I'd like to talk about tonight somewhat. And I believe they're, you know, they're using our name. But anyway, I just wanted to get some of that out there. I know I sent out a lot of emails on the show about that, and I'm sure there's some people that are tuning in that want to know more about this this budget or this thing that's $500,000 from the police department. So if anybody knows anything about that, tune in and enlighten us, okay? I'll sit back here just a minute. Carrie, go ahead.
All right, so let's go to Eddie Griffin. Eddie, how do we get these people to the polls?
How do we get those people to the poll? Kidnap them. I said that in a joking way, but I'm looking at our transportation to the polls. Who is providing transportation to the polls? That's one way to get people to the polls. Basically, I have a strategy, and that is if you set an incumbent's house on fire, they're going to fight like heck to put the fire out. Mm-hmm. That is to say, if they feel like their office is being threatened to be taken, then they're going to fight all the harder to get more people out to vote for them, and that helps the top of the ticket. And that's my strategy for the top of the ticket is to force the incumbents to fight a harder fight, because we're going to throw a lot of people into the streets before election time. And I noticed that every day the numbers are going up, the percentage of numbers are going up, but it's still not reaching the peak that it did when Barack Obama was elected.
Right.
Okay?
Right. I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm absolutely agreeing with you. Y'all, listen, we got to throw a little twist in there tonight. We got some ads that we're going to run for some of these candidates. They've got some wonderful ads, y'all, and they dropped them in on me, and I'm going to play some. The first one we're going to go to tonight is Michael Caceres.
This is Michael Caceres. And I'm running for City Councilman, District 3 here in Fort Worth, Texas. I was born in Texas, raised in Texas. The first time that I left Texas was when I joined the United States Marine Corps, where I served for almost 9 years as an active duty Marine. That includes one tour of combat, where I earned various recognitions. As your City Councilman, I plan on centering my work on 3 L's. That's listening, learning, and living. I'm going to listen to not only the community members, but those leaders that have seen success in their policies and in the information that they have. I'm also going to listen to past leaders, those that have information and are willing to share that information concerning what didn't work, so that we do not repeat past mistakes. With that type of listening, we can learn how to make our district better, improve on what we already have, and look to focus our efforts in those areas where it's most needed. That goes right into living. Living with our choices as a community. Living with your choice as to who you vote for during this election and who you depend on. After leaving the United States Marine Corps, I decided to go into education. I knew that my time as a leader wasn't done. And from there, I went on to earn my graduate degree, not only in counseling, but also earning those credits needed to complete the Educational Leadership Program, both programs at Texas Christian University. We are going to come together as a community, both citizens and the police, and bridge those gaps where we see that we can improve accountability, remove unnecessary barriers, and grow as a community. I'm listed first on the ballot, Michael Caceres, District 3, Fort Worth, Texas. Thank you.
Y'all, that was Michael Caceres over running in District 3. Y'all, they're stepping it up. I'm just serious. They are taking it to a whole nother level. This is a whole new race, y'all. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 253-495. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening, Carrie. How are you?
Good. Fine. How are you?
I'm good. For your listeners out there, my name is Daniel Double T. Fattori. I'm also running for City Council in District 3, and we are taking it very seriously. And after hearing that little clip from Michael Caceres, let's just say I thought this was like 106 in Park, because he sounded a little high in the clouds, if I could say that. Real relaxed with the beat, but it was something. It was something.
Okay. You want to tell them why they should vote for you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to first hit on, like, you know, your main topic, you know, voter turnout. And absolutely, that's the most important thing. I can sit here and I can crack a joke or two about a radio ad, but what's the most important thing is getting people out to vote. I myself had to vote on the second day of early voting because, you know, I work. I took my daughter with me, showed her the process, and she really enjoyed seeing her old man's name on signs and on the ballot. But the only way we're going to really get people out there is do exactly that, make it a priority. If you have to take, you know, the time off, take the time off. If you have to carpool, bus, plane, train, automobile, things aren't going to change on their own. The same old is exactly what we're trying to argue against. And that also goes for what, you know, I'm trying to get done. I believe that the hard work that I've learned in the U.S. Army, just like Mike Caceres, you know, the military, I think that's a pro. That's something that I can always fall back on, that discipline. But there's a couple of things that, you know, I want to just don't just change the status quo. I want to, you know, elevate the game. You know, citizens versus police. Well, one of the things you need to forget is, you know, I work in law enforcement myself. I work for Tarrant County. Citizens are police. We're not just we can't just separate them from the community they're supposed to serve. I know I don't. I live here. I work here. I'm proud of my uniform. I'm out here making a difference. It's one of the things that I think that, you know, my sister and the other candidates, you know, maybe they have it wrong. It's not about trying to find the things that separate us. I'm trying to find the things that bring us together. We all want, you know, safe streets. We all want our kids to grow up, you know, get a good education. We all want to be able to walk down the street and not feel harassed or watched by, you know, how many extra cameras they want to put up in Como. These are the things that all drive us together. And I think the citizens that live in District 3, the ones who put on those uniforms, they're in the same thing. When you really community police, it's not about coming in and occupying. It's about cleaning up the streets that belong to you. It's about taking ownership and pride in what you do. So that's why I think people should vote for me. That's why I want people to vote for me. I want them to get out there, see that the way things are going isn't the way it's supposed to be, see that there is something that we can do to get it done. And like some of the other panels said about bringing in two other districts, Fort Worth is growing whether we like it or not. And just like, you know, how we didn't get out there and vote this time around for this last time for Barack Obama, and then also to make sure, you know, we voted out the old POTUS, we need to get out there and change things now. From the mayor on down, change is coming, and it's whether we want it to happen or not. And that change could be more of the same, or it can be something we want different. I'm running on transparency, talking about that $500 CCPD fund. What is that? Exactly that. Why aren't these things talked about before the money is spent? These are the things that I want to change. So people won't have questions, already have answers. But I appreciate you bringing me in. I love your show. And thank you for letting me talk about these issues.
Thank you. That was Daniel Doubletree. I'm sorry, Double T for Tori. Thank you, Daniel. You're welcome. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, I'm going to ask you again to click that share, tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're discussing the topic, where are the voters? Where are the voters, Fort Worth? And what can we do to get that other 96% that has not been coming to the polls, to the polls? If you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981, then press 1. That's 516-387-1981, then press 1 once connected. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to 817-521. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Well, hello there. Good evening to you as well.
Good evening.
Oh, this is Antonio Twin Harris. I'm also running for District 5 here in Fort Worth. And I have a few things that I, from my understanding or my lack of understanding of why people not getting to the polls. First of all, it's ignorance and the lack of incentive. The ignorance of not knowing about city council itself. It is unfortunate, me being a student at Dunbar High School, which is a at that time was considered an all so-called black school. I didn't even know the word entrepreneur until I was in college. Reason being is because it was hidden from me purposely. So now we are dealing with systemic racism at its best. The same difference is with the voting and city council, and this is why we are concerned about that $5,500,000 we're talking about, is because they don't want you to know what's going on downtown. So now what we have to do is, first of all, we have to trick our people into doing something for themselves. Reason being, because we was strict into not doing something for ourselves. Are you following me? So this has to be a reverse psychology. The only thing about when we do make a difference in the voting, they would change the game on us. Now, so now we are in a catch-22 situation, but until then, what we need to do to get people to the polls is, first of all, like Willoughby said, we must educate them. And like my guru said, we got to kidnap them. In other words, we got to captivate their minds to the point where they know how imperative, how important it is for you to get to the polls. I've been ratting and raving and what have you. I've been in a, how can I put it? I might call it in a subtle slumber, trying to figure out what in the world is going on with our people. And it's because, again, there's bread downtown, and the bread is not being distributed among the people, and we are starving. We are starving to the point where we will accept anything, even that if that thing is nothing. So again, we must wake our people up, first of all, to get them to the polls. It ain't no magic to this. It ain't no magic. We cannot, it ain't no magic. We just got to tap into the mindset of our people. Nothing else. The minds of our people. And this is why Antonio Twin Harris is going for that position. I almost called it a seat. But I'm not going for the seat because I dare sit down. That's what's been happening. They've been sitting down at city council, and it's time for us to get up off our feet and be known, be seen, learn about the issues and the concerns of the people. And it's obvious that the 4% has been keeping the same city council downtown, and it's time to change it. And the way that we do it is we reach out with people. I don't care if I get one vote each year. As long as I get them to that, we must register and we must vote. And that's going to take inspiration because our people has lost hope in the system of Fort Worth, Texas, the United States, and the world itself. So it's going to take a time. It's going to take a change of the mind to get our people there. And that's what I have to say about voting.
All right, y'all. That was Antonio Twin Harris running over in there in District 5. As a matter of fact, we have an ad for Mr. Harris. We're going to run it, right?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here wondering if the city of Fort Worth really ready for change. But the only way we can really tell is that the citizens get out and vote. But in the meantime, I got a little something to say.
I got 5 on it. City Council District 5. I got 5 on it. Get me in and let's get live. I got 5 on it. I see the people call. I got 5 on it. District 5, I need your vote.
Yeah, that's right, see. I'm Antonio Twin Harris, running for City Council, District 5, number 5 on the ballot. Make sure that you are registered and vote. You win with Twin. When you make the difference, I promise to make the change. City Council, District 5.
That's Antonio Twin Harris, again, running over there in District 5. We're going back to the phone lines, 512-761. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Hello, Carrie. This is D.C. Caldwell.
Hi, Mr. Caldwell. How are you?
I am glad that you invited me to come participate on your show again, even if it's just for a couple minutes. I appreciate the welcome.
No problem.
I posted on the Blog Talk website my preferred link for looking up where to go to vote, since it's not the one that the county elections office really provides so much as the geographic information services, because you, in the links to see how long of a wait you might have, it'll actually show you the mapped out location of every one of the polling locations in the county that you can go to. During early voting, it's 44 of them.
Oh. Wait. Well, no, they're posting 726 locations.
That's on election day. That's only on May 1st.
Oh.
During early voting, only 44 locations.
So they're posting erroneous information on the website?
They're posting the election day polling location. The election day polling location.
Okay. I'll get some clarity on that tomorrow because they're posting every day that there are 726 locations. But we'll get some clarity.
And on May 1st, there will be.
Okay.
In the meantime, by my count, it's only 44.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. And what page did you get that from?
GISIT/TCVL. GISIT is Geographic Information Systems, Information Technology, and the TCVL is Tarrant County Voter Lookup.
Okay.
And
so you, G as in George, I as in India, S as in Sam, I as in India, T as in Tom, / T as in Tom, C as in Cat, V as in Victory, and L as in Lady?
So GISIT.tarrantcounty.com /
okay.
Tango, Charlie, Victor, Lima.
Okay. We'll post it on social
and
media.
And then you click on Find Other Voting Locations to get the list of all the voting locations. When you click on the wait times link, and if you want it to look up directions for the one closest to you, you put in your zip code or click on the spot where it says use my location, and it'll just pull up the closest one, or the closest 5, or the closest 20, depending on how many you pick in the drop-down menu. But
okay.
I happen to come to the perspective that one of the biggest reasons that people don't turn out more to vote is that we pretty poorly communicate the time and location, the where and the when for voting. Most of the people I talk to don't know that voting started on Monday.
Oh, wow. So have you been to the polls yet, Mr. Caldwell?
Of course. I voted for myself.
Okay. Well, my reason for asking that was what did you see when you went there? Were there any people there, or was it empty? Was it full? What was the situation when you went there?
I went to the town hall because that was the one that was on the way between errands for me. And I think there were more election workers than voters. There was no line. During early voting, it is usually pretty typical that there'd be more election workers than voters.
Right.
And even on election day, it's usually pretty typical that there'd be more election workers than voters.
Wow.
I say this having worked for 4 different county elections offices on election day at different polling locations. I've been in charge of polling locations in 3 counties, and it's pretty standard that there are more election workers than voters at any given point in time. I've only had one location, and that was in, 2012 for the presidential election, where they actually had a line out the door.
Well, tell us why they should vote for you, Mr. Caldwell, and we're going to have to move on a little bit.
Well,
anybody jump in?
I think he's going to close out, and then you can jump in, Bob. Tell us why we need to vote for you, Mr. Caldwell. We got to go.
Everyone has different reasons for voting for me, but the reasons that have been most touching are the fact that I have a story of struggles that has taught me empathy and to really care about everyone. I'm the only candidate who knows what it's like to lose everything and be homeless. So I can relate to a larger segment of the population than anyone else out of the 10 candidates.
I care.
Hello?
That and I've got a world-class education, but I'm not the only one with a world-class education. I've got the hard knocks.
Wow.
So I know where all the constituents are coming from.
Well, Mr. Cutler, we wish you, it does. We wish you good luck with your race, and thank you for calling in tonight.
Blessings to you.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Bob, you were saying what? And
there,
Eddie, you're
well, what he's saying is, he's saying that there is 44 places open during the early vote, and I think on election day it jumps out to the number you're looking at there. There is just 44. It's open right now. And I was looking at that on Griffin Street for the total right now is 517 votes, and for Hanley, 811 votes. And then you jump over to Como, you got 1,490 votes. So everything on the west side is always a little stronger than our east. But anyway, he's right about that. And I think what we're getting confused on is the election day is different because everything opens up, I think. A lot more places open, I believe. But, yeah, that's what I throw that in there.
Thank you for that correction.
Yep.
Let's talk about the demographics in Fort Worth just a second. We have about 332,000 whites, 156,000 blacks, 18,000 considered other, 31,300 Asians, and 275,000 Hispanics. That's roughly 815,000 in population. And we have 472,666 registered voters. So, y'all, that's basically half the population is voting. The median age here is 32 years old. It doesn't make sense that everybody's good and grown, but the people are not going to the polls. It just doesn't make sense that, I mean, those kind of numbers are coming in. Like, we got 472,000 registered voters, and 4% of that is going to the polls. That just does not make sense to me. Now, at some point it may, but today it just does not make sense. But that's just some of the things that I saw that just kind of make you say, why do so many people feel not included in the process? And, y'all, before I talk to my panel a little bit more, let me talk something about these incumbents just for a second here. Because I looked at the records of some of the incumbents, and I'm not sure if y'all are paying attention to how long some of them have been seated. Carlos Flores has been in District 2 since 2017. We know in District 3, Mr. Byrd will not be running again because he's running for mayor. But we know in District 4, Kerry Moon will be running again, and he's been there since 2015. In District 5, Gina Bivens has been seated since 2013. In District 6, this was the one that was most, incredible to me. Jungus Jordan has been in position in his seat since 2005. He's only has two opponents against him right now, but he's been seated since 2005 in District 6. District 7, we don't have any incumbents because Mr. Shingleton is retiring. And we know District 8 is Kelly Allen Gray, and she's been there since 2012. And in District 9, there will not be an incumbent because Ann Zadie is running for mayor. So just wanted to let y'all, wrap your mind around how long some of these people have had their seats. Just an FYI, I just thought I'd throw that out there. What do y'all think about the fact that some of these people have been seated so long? I didn't know Jungus Jordan had been there since 2005. That's crazy. Anyway,
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Wow. Oh, and I knew that too because I live in District 6. And, yeah, that's whack-a-doodle.
I thought I knew everything. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah. I really wish, I really, really, really hope there's going to be a lot of people that maybe are new voters in District 6 that are going to want to get out and do something about that. Because I'll tell you something about Mr. Jordan. You can't say that he doesn't work real hard, and I don't really like the way he's working, but he does it real hard, you know? So.
You got to have Elizabeth Huber around. I can see it like this. Well, let me say this real quick. I can see it like this. Everybody's complaining about how they don't like downtown. But the truth be told, if you let somebody have a seat since 2005 and you don't unseat them, then you get what you get.
That is right.
I mean, that's crazy. How did y'all let him keep his seat that long? How many times has he been challenged, or has he not been challenged?
Oh, he's always challenged, and this is what usually happens. And this is what's happening this time. There's two challengers, and it splits the vote against him. And, see, that's the thing is he does work really hard, so he gets his name out there. And these people that that I see involved in neighborhood association meetings, things like that, the kind of people that want to hold on to the status quo because they're afraid of change, they're going to get out there and they're going to vote for him, and they're going to talk to their neighbors and say, well, Jungus gets out there and gets the job done, and that's what the people are going to hear because they're yelling into a vacuum. And he's been filling it now for, if he does it again this time, 16 years in a row. And, man, I am really, really, really pulling for Dr. Jared. I really am. I hope that he can win this election and that we can have some change in District 6.
But Jordan should be the poster child for why we should have term elections. What do you call it? Term limit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What were you saying? Who was the other person?
Yes. One of the problems, and I'm going to reverse the question, you say, what will it take to get people out to the polls? Let's look at who is coming to the polls. Now, we can anticipate that these are people that vote in every election. Those that come out, vote early, these are the ones that are motivated to come out and vote, and mostly for the incumbent. And so that's how the incumbent gets in with 4% of the voting population, is that the people that's voting are the ones that vote regularly.
You know, this is the thing, and I'm going to say this, y'all, and I may take some heat, but it is what it is. If your streets and your neighborhood and everything about where you live and around where you live does not look like Rivercrest, does not look like Fairmont, does not look like Westover Hills, does not look like Westcliff, does not look like Arlington Heights or Tanglewood, you might need new representation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Am I wrong to say that, y'all? Uh-oh, everybody's got quiet. I guess I'm out by myself. But it is what it is.
I really agree with you. And one thing I've learned in my life, watching my parents at the end of their life and watching other people over the last more years than I'm willing to admit in public, unless you're in the top 1%, you do not own anything. You really don't. You know, I pay the taxes on a third of an acre with a little house on it, but when it comes down to it, I'm a broken leg away from losing that. And I wish that people in my neighborhood, because I wish we all understood that. I wish that everyone could see that that perspective, that we need to get some people downtown that have empathy and sympathy and are willing to put themselves out there and vote with their hearts from time to time on certain issues.
I agree. Bob, what do you think?
Oh, am I there? Okay. Well, let's see. I was thinking about all kind of things here, I'll tell you. Well, I want to go back to getting people to vote. There's one thing in the back of my mind I wanted to bring up again was people talking about getting them to the polls, bringing them in cars, bringing them in that. You know, I could live with a low, small voter turnout if they were honest. Okay? If they were honest, I could live with that. I'd rather have a small, honest turnout at 4% than I would a dishonest 20% turnout. So just get them to the polls, not it. They've got to be educated. And I've been at this for, this is my forefront, and I'm looking at these numbers right now, and they're not much different. I'm not seeing any change. And I can about lay you out a diagram how this is going to work out. I have laid out one. I'll see after the election of how wrong I was. I love doing it, just kind of predicting, you know, to see if I got it right or not. But my thing is I've already got my sights on 2023 is where my sights
wow.
are. And that. And I'm thinking voter education, with Carrie does such a great job in this radio thing and with advertisement. And we're working on trying to bring in some celebrities. She's brought in the judges, great. This one might bring people over that don't vote as a celebrity or something, you know, like the judge or something to come listen to. And if they get educated and they start learning what's going on, then it'll give them more. If they know what's going on, it'll give them more of an incentive to vote. And we got a big pool of 50% not voting at all. And that's because when they run for office, these incumbents, they only send those leaflets out, a lot of them just to the ones that voted last time, that 4,000 in my district. Or they might send out to the 40,000 registered voters if they got big money, whatever. But that's as far as they go with the leaflets. They don't go any further. So all that 50% out there is not voting. They're not getting any of this world. They're in another world. So I do a lot of door-to-door leaflets. And let me tell you, that's a good thing to do. If you're like me, I lost, when I started this stuff in 13, it didn't take me probably 6 months, and I lost 40 pounds. I was so mad at city council and everything, I walked off 40 pounds putting out leaflets. So believe me, this is good for exercise and sharing information. Print you up a leaf. It don't cost $100 to get a couple thousand printed and put them on door-to-door. I roll them up and put rubber bands around them. I can put out 300 a day. And I do my area over and over, and I've been papering it for the last 8 years with information what's going on in this city, trying to get people to wake up. And I don't know anything other than trying to wake them up, you know, and information out. And that's a good thing to do, though, for exercise. Do it for your neighborhood association or for local information. But anyway, but I'm back to voter education. It looks like from what I see now, I don't see, the faces change, but the game stays the same. And that's what I'm seeing now. And until we get that other side, wake up and start tapping into them. And that's one thing about door-to-door leaflets. You're hitting everybody. Unregistered voters, registered voters that aren't voting, and the ones that are. You're clicking them all that way. When they just do that mail-out stuff, those people are never being touched. So I strongly suggest it's good exercise. Encourage people to put things out in their neighborhood, what's going on, especially zoning changes. Jeez, what they do. I put my own zoning signs up. I bought a machine to make my own and put them up. So, but anyway, I'm sorry if I got off the topic there and if there was any answers or anything there. And I'm hoping someone will call in about my website. And I'm more interested about the police report there, that CCP funding, that $500,000 to candidates. This is one of the big things I've been fighting is the police association and them using the name of police and being a special. It just, you know, there are special interest groups like good government, okay? This is no different than that, really. But when you attach the name, you change the name of good government special interest to the police association, it'll get a lot more attention, that same group would, than it does under good government. And that's what these people are doing. Our fire department and our police, they are making a disgrace by doing this. They should not be buying candidates and doing that under that name. And any police officer or firefighter that supports these groups, I don't want them on our department at all. I want them to clean it up. Police fire should put money into voter education that helps all of us. That would be a good thing. Okay, I just got to get that off. I got to vent about that a little bit. I can't afford professional counseling. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
All right, y'all. We're going to go back to one of these ads. We're going to pick up the ad from Adrian Smith running over there in just a break.
Fort Worth, my name is Adrian Divine Smith, and I'm seeking to become the next city council representative for District 3. My current platform is accountability, transparency, and purpose for the will of the constituents of District 3 and Greater Fort Worth. We're at an historic time within Fort Worth, with growth, COVID-19, policing concerns, representation, and overall togetherness as a city. My desire is for the will of the people to rise to its greatness again. The will of business or special interests cannot be more important than the will of the people. I will work with leaders of transportation, infrastructure, communities, and all that governs Fort Worth to make our purpose shine brighter again. I believe that nothing can be achieved without accountability for decisions made at City Hall. I will be transparent with all who've entrusted me to represent them. And I will maintain my vote integrity if there's opposition to an agenda item. I have the heart of a servant, and it's my only desire to work relentless for you until a greater outcome is achieved. I've helped people my entire life, rather directly or indirectly. So service is something that I'm not new to. I hope to be your next council representative for District 3. Together, we are better. Early voting begins April 19th through April the 27th, and election day is May 1st. Adrian Devine Smith.
All right, y'all, that was Adrian Devine Smith running over there in District 3. Y'all, they ain't playing with these ads tonight, I'm just telling you. Okay, we're going back to the phone lines, 972-987. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk for Work.
Hey, good evening, Carrie. Thank you for taking my call, and good evening to your panel as well. Hey, Mr. Willoughby, you know, I posed that question to Ann Zeta last week, when she was on regarding the CCPD fund, and my question to her was, is it possible that funds from the CCPD fund is used to endorse some of the incumbents? And I cannot call her a liar because she stated that they were not being used for such. She stated something regarding that the police association, they raised their own funds, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. But me, myself, with me, myself, I would have to disagree with myself, with my own personal self, because with the amount of money that was voted in, not by all Fort Worth constituents, but the amount of money that was approved, you know, why wouldn't none of that money trickle back down to those, you know, council members, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do know that the POA does have a fundraising thing. They get donations and stuff. And that's where the money's supposed to be coming from that they use for candidates. As far as this information, we just got this today. It got to me today. And it's from, I got to give the girl credit. She's running in District 5 over here with us. And I got to give her credit. She dug that up. So I'm going to be talking to her, calling her, and I want her on our team to help in the future here because it doesn't stop here. Okay? After this election, a lot of these people are going to disappear. They're going to disappear. I'll grant you, I've done this over and over. But the ones that are here are still, no, these issues are still here after the election. So we've got to keep working for the next one and start planting the seed in that. But I would like to know why that is even on the Polish report elections, and you've seen that $500,000. Why is that even printed on there on the PBC fund? And I'd like to know, is this a misprint? Where did it go? What is it? Someone tell me. I just send these emails out to, I have a pretty large email list that I mailed it out to. We put it on Nextdoor. Facebook, several groups on Facebook I shared it with. So I try to get, and also I include all the council members. I send all the council members this too. So if they wanted to call in and maybe help us, you know how I want to approach things is when I see something that looks funny or not right, I don't want to approach it negative. I want to find an honest reason why or a right reason. And if I can't find that reasoning, then it really confirms there's something wrong. And that's why we've got it out there. If that's what I'd like to find out. And another thing, I'm against the Police Association, them giving money to candidates, period. And you know what's even worse? Candidates accept the money. But now, let me tell you something about Ann. Out of all the mayors I've looked at, I'm not happy with any of them.
Yes.
And if I went down the whole row, Ann would be the one I would have to choose out of all of them. I laid out, it's one of my votes, one person emailed me and wanted to know who I would choose. And if I had to choose one, I told them none. I didn't like it. I'm sorry, because I know how Ann votes. She didn't stand up against the red light cameras, so she didn't speak out. I almost was going to speak out, not be a team player, but be a district player for their district. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if I had to choose one out of them that I know of, now I don't know about Maddie, actually. I don't know. I'm only going on hearsay on Maddie, okay? But I don't know in this mayor race. You know, we'll let it play out. But, you know, at the end of the day is no matter who gets in there, it don't matter if we get people – back into controlling our city council because we outnumber them. And we can make that, no matter how bad that person is, we can flip them. We can flip them to be what we want, but we got to get to the people and get them involved. And I'm thinking voter education. That's why I want to put money in this for the next couple of years on this voter in this program. I'm putting up signs. I'll put out stuff to advertise it, promote it, see if we can't get any kind of sponsorship, any donations to help further it. Voter education, I think, is the key. I'll tell you why it's the key. City Council don't give out any information. That's because they don't want people to have information. So let's take what they don't want to give us and put it out there. And I think that's what makes it even more important, voter education. And it's like planting a seed. And if we work on it, water it, and work it for a couple of years, only 24 months, we work on it and get people enough people involved doing this, we can grow out a better crop for our council and mayor and that, you know. That's my take on it. I may be wrong, but that's my take. I don't know if I got off subject or answered your question or helped you any or not.
I appreciate you calling, definitely. Yeah, I was at the last council meeting, and I was tickled because you had the last say, and, boy, you shared the voter education information, and they don't like you. We know you're a thorn in Gina Bivens' side. And I saw Mr. Westman, he kind of came unhinged because they're not supposed to, engage the they're not supposed to engage us, but what's the name? He made a comment or something. But I was tickled because I was like, "Boy, Bob tough. He a tough one." But Mr. Williams,
I know I got to change the decaf coffee.
Just thinking about what you're saying, if we put our efforts together, we can possibly make a.
Oh, it wouldn't take that much.
You know,
it don't take that much. See, what we got is 4% voting, okay? You can only trade a little bit of that off. About 1% is good people already, okay? So 1% is already on our side, okay? But they've got the number on us a little bit, okay? And part of that could be converted a little bit, but they still got the number. But we got to reach over to that other pool that no one's tapping into, and that's where door-to-door leaflets will reach them. They're not getting reached at all. And if, like me, that's what got me going. 8 years ago, I couldn't have told you who the mayor was or anything. I was brain dead. But they did something to piss me off, and look what they did. And they really, you know what, I got to thank for why I'm there, and I'm going to do this too. I've got to thank Mr. Brandon Bennett of Code Compliance, because if it wasn't for his dishonesty, I wouldn't have been this involved. So I give him the credit for me doing all this. So I'll give that to him live at council here in the near future. I'm going to thank him very much because of his dishonesty. But that's what I'm thinking it'll do to other people. If they find out how dishonest the good people out there that still care enough that this is worth fighting for, and we don't need just a few percentage of them, and we can flip it. We can start taking control of the city and put the people back in charge. So that's what I'm hoping. I mean, it doesn't look like when I first got involved, I thought it wouldn't be that hard of a thing. I sure was wrong there, I'll grant you. I've got 8 years into this. My hair was brown when I started. So, anyway, I definitely appreciate your call. I hope you stay involved with us and go to my website, share any information you know, any questions, anything we can help with, you know, let us know. And we want to keep this show going. I'd like to keep it going for the next 24 months.
I know Kerry has to continue on with the show. Lastly, we also have to be mindful that we are up against, they're changing the voting laws again in Texas. So not only are we going to be up against, trying to educate the voters and get them out, but we have to be ready for these changes, these other changes that they're trying to possibly implement. But, hey, if they change, we can change. So
this is true. Adrian, that was Adrian's ad we ran just before we called. Adrian, can you tell them why they should vote for you in District 3 before we move on?
Look here. I'm going to just say this real, real short and sweet. You know, I've been to council meetings. I've been dissatisfied with how they do the constituents, people who come out in opposition against various zoning, things going on, and how the city council basically just thumbs their nose up at them. You know, it's basically like, hey, if they don't get no opposition to something, basically it's let's just roll business as usual. But then I've noticed even when people do bring opposition, the council members are likely to kind of just hold to what they normally do. So I think I want to be that change. I want to be somebody that shows people, hey, I'm really in this position to serve you and work on your behalf. I don't have nothing that I'm gaining for this but service. And, I think it's time for change. We're at a great point in Fort Worth for change. And if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Adrian. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Carey.
Thank you. Listen, if you just tuned in, y'all, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. I'm going to ask you to click tag, share, tell someone that Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're discussing the topic, Fort Worth, where are the voters? That's what we're talking about tonight, y'all. Fort Worth, where are the voters? You know, typically they're saying that on average 4% of the registered voters here in Fort Worth are going to the polls. So what are y'all doing about getting the other 90%, 96% to the polls? That's what we need to be tapping into if we're going to see change in Fort Worth. So that's what we're asking tonight, y'all, where are the voters? But we're going to go back to the phone lines. And if you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 516-387-1981, then press 1. That's, again, 516-387-1981, and then press 1. If you're listening or watching via your internet, the number's at the top of the screen. We're going to go to area code 817-841. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello.
817-8. Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
We can.
Carrie?
Yes. We can hear you.
Oh, all right. I'm not just out here. I was trying to help a friend put up some drywall a while ago. Still from the damage from Snowgetting. Remember that? Anyhow, on the topic of your conversation, I might know a thing or two about voting since I've served as a Tarrant County election judge for a few decades. And I would say the average probably is between 4 and 6% historically. You could average it at 5%, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, actually incumbents love that low turnout because I'll explain the whole equation as I see it.
Exactly.
The people that come to local elections I've observed over time tend to be older. They mm-hmm. tend to be whiter. And they tend to be more affluent or middle class. But they are satisfied with the status quo.
Right.
And actually, so all a candidate has to do in their political calculation and their strategy of a campaign with all their consultants is get 2 to 2.5% of the voter. And they carry the day. And that changed, though, in 2019 because I think the dynamic of Deborah Peoples challenging Betsy Price brought out more vote from both ends of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it jumped up 10%. Whoopee, we're at 10%.
Mm-hmm.
But that means 9 out of 10 registered voters still aren't activated to go vote. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another observation I've had over the years. When people vote, it's an emotional outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a rational endeavor. They feel in their gut it's important enough to go do. And Bob's a good example of that because he's impassioned. And,
mm-hmm.
he, you know, who's elected actually touches him. And so that's the key, that if we don't speak to the grievances and the concerns and the frustration where people actually live, and it can be done because
mm-hmm.
AOC did it in a Democratic primary against an entrenched incumbent with
mm-hmm.
all the money and power behind this campaign because she said if you go out and give people a damn good reason why they should vote, they
mm-hmm.
will vote. So
amen.
I'm not concerned about that 10%. I'm reaching out to wake up the 90% out here in Fort Worth to take ownership of their city, to realize the power they haven't used. It's kind of like, I call it like the Wizard of Oz effect. When
mm-hmm.
Dorothy clicked her heels to go home
mm-hmm.
and the Tin Man found the heart and the Lion found the courage, the Scarecrow,
right.
You know, that was a power they had all along. But we got to tap into it. It's the job of candidates to speak to the needs and frustrations of the people here in Fort Worth. You got to touch them where they live.
Now then, I don't know if it's going to work.
Well, thank you, Joel. That's so fine. Joel, tell us where you're running at. What race are you in?
Oh, am I a candidate?
Yeah.
I just Ann Zeta moved on to bigger things. You know, she's, and bless her and Deborah Peoples. I love them both. They're both competent and capable women, and the head and shoulders above the others in the mayor's race. That's just my humble opinion. Anyhow, I'm running District 9. Ann Zeta's, you know, presently the city council member.
Well, be nice because she's on right after you. So whatever you're going to say, Ann Zeta's up next. But go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. I give Ann credit because last time I went to city council meeting, I went to speak that the people, the citizens, should decide the redistricting independently, not by incumbents who want to carve up and find the voters they want. And Ann Zeta had the courage to make a motion to try and let that possibility be more likely. And she couldn't even get a second from any member of the city council.
She's
probably
going to say thank you.
Can you hear me?
Well,
or can I jump in here?
Yeah,
I wanted to answer Bob's question. Can I answer Bob's question? Can I answer Bob's question?
We got several callers waiting.
Go ahead. Okay, well, Bob asked about the $80 million the voters gave to the police department in a low turnout election back in the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that $500,000 elections is for election security. The expense of the police department spends to protect the elections.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing,
what I was trying to figure out earlier.
You know,
what
there's
we're
nothing nefarious, but you touch on a very valid point, Bob. You talk about the POA. Now, the POA, they give, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to every incumbent.
Hundreds.
Well, I mean, per candidate, you know.
You go back and look
whatever,
at $60,000 in 13, and it went to a POA.
Well, I mean, tens of thousands.
Yeah, tens of thousands. Now, but they were larger when I started.
You know what, Bob? That might go a long way explaining why we don't have a citizens' independent police oversight board. You know?
Well, I'll go back to one thing.
POA does not want that.
Well, what we need is a mayor and a city manager. And if you have a real mayor, honest mayor, and a city manager, everything will fall in place from there. Even council members will. If we can get a real mayor and a real city manager. And there again, it goes back to us, like I was telling the other caller, we just had to take back over our city, you know. And you know, I'm yelling about, and I want to yell about, they need to move that citizens' presentation to the top of the agenda. They do that in Forest Hill. They do it at White Settlement. They do it at Kennedale. Is it because we're a bigger city that we're not as important as those people in a small city? I think they ought to move back to the top. But anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut into your call too much here. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead.
We're
going
to go to area code 87454. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. This is Ann Zeta. Thank you for the invitation. I think your question was, how do we get people to get out and vote? That has been a quandary for many, many years. As someone who grew up with parents that impressed upon me the importance of civic engagement, that is not something I ever questioned or thought about not doing. And I struggle to this day to convince other folks of the importance of voting, especially in local elections. So I think that the important thing is to have people engaged all year round, all the time, not just during election years, and have people believe that the input that they bring to their city is heard and important, and that encourages them to have their say all the time, not just during elections. And hopefully we can have people be more civically engaged all the time and not see the city as something separate from themselves, but something that they're an integral part of.
Wow. You know, I was gonna mention a little later that your people have been papering my house, and so y'all listen, Ann is putting some strong messages in her flyers that she's putting out in the mail. And one thing I noticed is that the strongest message you're saying is that you're the only person who has city planning experience and the rest don't. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a master's degree in city and regional planning, and I've been a city planning consultant, and I served on the Zoning Commission. So I think my background in education and experience is something that is unique from all of the other candidates.
Wow. Listen, panel, y'all got any questions for Ann? Boy, I guess they don't.
I think I've answered all the questions with my very informative mail, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Carrie, is Ann there? Is she still there?
Yeah, Ann's there.
Carrie?
Yes, she's there.
Oh, she's there. Ann. Are you still here?
Yes.
Oh, hi. How you doing? I've looked at everything, the people across the board, who I choose from, if I choose them, for my reason is only. And I've had some emails from people that are going to vote for me, and they wanted to know what I thought who would be mayor. And when I did, I laid it out to them. I tried to lay it out to them. I was not happy with any. And one told me that was a politician answer, so I had to go into it. And I thought, well, I'll just lay out who I wouldn't choose. And I laid them out a complete list, how I went and wrote this down. And there's four of them I wouldn't choose because they have no money, okay? There was two I wouldn't choose because they've only been here 24 months. I liked that out. There was two that had too much money. I wasn't happy with that either. And we kept lowering it down, and I got to you last. And I told them, I said, now, that would be who I'd vote for, but the only problem I got is a couple of things, is that none of the council members speak out about the red light cameras, and they seem to work like a team. I'm sorry to go at you, but I'm just telling you my opinion, how I feel, okay? I'm just laying it out. But at the end of the day, I would have you would be the vote, okay? And I hope that if you were to be, as a matter of fact, I saw one of your people putting signs out, and I told her, tell Ann, and if she wants my vote, let's move that citizen's presentation to the top. I'm tired of waiting 2 hours to talk, okay? Anyway, I appreciate it, Ann, and good luck, okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it. And my friend that ran into you, she passed forward your message, so I heard that loud and clear. She definitely made sure I heard that. And to your question about red light cameras, I think you and I have disagree on red light cameras. And, you know, you're going to make decisions when you're in elected office that make some people happy some of the time, but not all of the people all of the time. I'm very serious about the governor had to take them out. We had to go to the governor to get them out,
okay? So, I mean,
I'm going to finish answering my question if you'll let me, please.
I'm sorry, Ann. I apologize.
I'm very serious about safe street initiatives, and the safety that was provided by those cameras outweighs anything else that with them going away. And I have grave concerns that with them gone, that we're going to end up having more accidents that are fatal. So that
was my reason
for supporting continuing with those, but I understand that that was taken away at a higher level, so we didn't have any control over that at the local level.
Can I respond to that?
I appreciate the opportunity to share with you and to share with folks my candidacy and hope that I can get people's support in this election, and I'm going to have to sign off. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to Ann's going to go, but can I respond one thing real quick? I want to end that at one thing. The red light cameras, I did not want them taken out of here. I did not want them. I went before council, and I told them I did not want the governor to take them out. I wanted council to take them out. And what it was with the red light cameras, they could have work, and they had merit. That is true. But I wanted them owned by us in the city, not some other state like New Mexico owned them by a private organization making money off. That was no good. That's wrong. I wanted us to own them. If we had control of them and the people had to say on them, the red light cameras would be good. I would like to have them. But we could not get council to take them out. And I was getting 30 phone calls a day about this, people getting ripped off. And they had them set up when you made a right-hand turn on red and you didn't stop for the crosswalk. Boom, you got a ticket by mail. And here where they really ripped people off, too. One thing, and I made this point clear. The city had signs up that they were enforced. They had a picture of a red light on that sign and said enforce. You go before city council and you ask, who enforced it? And they would not answer you because there was no one in our tax collector was not enforcing them. So the only people that were paying these were honest people. So the whole thing was done wrong. But the cameras do have merit. I wish the governor didn't take them out. I wish, and we wouldn't have done our thing either. But I was a big part of that with Kelly Canton out of Arlington that got those cameras out, went before Austin. And I did, you know, that's the only choice we had was to get them out because council wouldn't even talk to us. So
But anyway, I just wanted to kind of explore just a little bit and let someone know something about those cameras a little bit. They could have merit. They would be good about people running red lights. I am worried about the safety. They were just managed wrong. That's what's wrong. That's what we were yelling about. So, okay, I'm glad I got to get that off my chest. Anyway, go ahead. Anybody else?
Well, that was Ann Zeta, y'all, and that's one of our candidates that are running for mayor. And I have to say to Ann, I do appreciate the fact, and I know she's busy right now going into this election, as you are, Mr. Caldwell, and all the other candidates that are running. I do appreciate you all stopping by the show. I know y'all have 100 things that y'all have going on going into this election. And so I do want to say I do appreciate you when you stop by and show support for the show. So I absolutely want to say thank you for that. So, again, Ann, thanks for stopping by because she told me going in she was really busy tonight. So I do appreciate her taking the time out of her Friday night to stop by. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 314-381. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening, Gary. I hear candidates talking, and I've listened to your program several times with candidates. But on this, I haven't caught the things that they stand for. Now, one thing, too, I'm going to say about the red light cameras. I'm surprised that communities are continuing to put those in, where you've had some states where people have taken them to court, and they had to come down, and the company that has owned and collects the money has had to give portions of the money back to those that were cited, Missouri being one. But on the questions, what are some of the candidates standing for? Are they for instance, a school choice where parents can put their child where they feel is best for their educational outcomes and the money follows the child? What about sanctuary cities, which is always seemingly in the topic of a conversation? So just those two, Gary. I haven't heard many candidates talk on that. Thank you very much.
Well,
you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Thank you. It's only one candidate on the panel. So, Bob, I guess you can try to answer that for him.
Oh, well, wow, I got the show here. Okay. Now, I want to appreciate that caller coming in. A matter of fact, the way he spoke when he asked that, I'm wondering, would he run for council? So I appreciate that. And where I'm at on sanctuary cities, I'm not for sanctuary cities. I'm not for that. Mm-hmm. I don't stand. I think we got one set of laws here, and everybody needs to be treated fairly like that, but I'm not for that. I'll be right out. And I don't know what the other question was, but actually what it is with money for sanctuary cities and stuff, since Mayor Price became in office, I go downtown all the time at council meetings, so I get to see this. A lot of people don't see it at nighttime. Mm-hmm. The homeless on the street has just multiplied over the last 8 years downtown. There were not none when I was going down meetings early, but it started showing up, and more people, and they're down at downtown. You'll see tents, homemade huts and things, and this all needs to be addressed, okay? The homeless needs to be addressed, and money for that. We can't be having sanctuary cities and not taking care of that. And one other thing real quick that's very important on my list that we're not paying attention to, at the Gospel Mission. We have some children in there for over a year. That's way too long to me. I think 2 weeks. They should be, their parents, the family should be relocated in a location with a house, something where a kid has a yard, and not riding a school bus from the Gospel Mission to school. Now, I think they're there over a month. That's way too long, okay? And then we have too much money, and there's only about 50 in there. And I think somehow or another, those children need to be out. A couple of weeks is great for a turnover for emergencies, but in 2 weeks' time, we should be able to have a program that finds them, their family, or whatever, and get them into, I don't know how you'd feel going to school and your home's a Gospel Mission. I don't know how kids are. It's been a long time since I've been to school, but when I went to elementary school, sometimes kids can be mean, you know? So I don't know, but I'd like to see them. It's great to have the Gospel Mission. It's great for an emergency. But that's what it should be used for, not to make a permanent shelter, you know. And a year, when I found that out, I thought that was way too long. So, but on this other question about sanctuary cities, we got two sets of laws, actually. One for our local government and one for us. Now, I don't want sanctuary cities with another law that protects them, okay? That's three different sets. We got two is enough, and we should just have one. The same for the local government and us should be the same law, but it's not. So that's what we need to change first, to where we have the same law, and we need to clean up our backyard first. And then, and as far as then you know, and in sanctuary cities, I don't, you know, that's something that we would need to maybe have people together, discuss it, and really have everything on the table. We don't get all our information on things, too. Maybe there might be such a thing. But anyway, right now I'd have to say no. Anyway, that was too long on that answer for you. But anyway, I appreciate that caller, and I appreciate that person very much calling in with those questions. Thank them very much for that. Go ahead.
Antonio Twin Harris wanted to address that question that the caller had. Antonio, your phone line's back open.
Oh, well, again, you know, can you hear me?
We can.
Can you hear me? Okay.
We can.
Well, you know, again, you know, I'm like Bob, you know, I would love to see, I would want this race to be a marathon, because we have a lot of people with a lot of concern, but we don't have enough people in the race. My thing is, you know, with sanctuary cities and what have you, is that, first of all, like Bob said, we need to take care of home. We need to take care of home. And he asked about the schools. You know, our people are suffering. You know, in my district, our citizens here are suffering. But anyway, with the school district, I believe that. With the charter schools and what have you, I believe, yes. Whatever it takes to educate our students to the fullest, that's what we need. I see that the Fort Worth Independent School District is losing students to these charter schools. Why? Because they are not doing their job. And when people don't do their job, it's time for change. And this is why I'm running for city council, because it's time for change. People are not doing their job. And that's in all diasporas, in all areas of city council. They're not doing their job to the best of the city citizens of Fort Worth, at least from my perspective. And before Ann got off, I was going to ask her, before she tooted along like most politicians do, and I understand, because I'm very busy myself, and I know she got a heavy load. But my question would be, would our east side mirror that of the west side? Again, I believe in Bob. I want to thank you for, again, knowing and understanding that educating our people is the reason why voters turn out is the way that it is. But let me add a little something to that. Registration and education is what we need, because it's obvious those who are already registered are going for the same people, doing the same thing, which is not enough. So, again, politicians or politics is a root word of polite. We are not being in a position where they are being polite to us. It is unbelievable that we would take a stand to vote someone out before we vote someone in. That is a grave problem with the lack of understanding what city council is. It must be, and it should be taught in the school system to the children, and so that they will know and understand. I hear where you saying that, oh, they should have a certain amount of terms or what have you. Oh, well, for me, I believe that as long as they're doing their job adequately and fairly for the people, they should stay as long as they can. So that's just my opinion. Now, we know that, again, in politics, we're dealing with politics, people. There are cover-ups, there are payoffs, and what have you. There are absentee voting and stuff like that we don't know about, that we don't control. Again, I'm not saying that there's cheating and what have you, but I'm saying there's a way that they're having a stronghold on those positions, and we need to find those things out. We need to know and understand why we are being taxed with that representation. And it is simply because, again, Bob, you're right. The lack of education, the lack of our people paying attention, the complacency of dealing with these people that have been in office, and all we do is just vote them right on in, because I'm going to tell you, we are dealing with a hopelessness in my district. The hopelessness of not knowing that we have a chance at city council. And this is why our people are in a rut. This is why our people are not getting out and vote, because they haven't been properly represented and they lost hope. So again, Bob, you and I can make sure that we get some registered, we get them educated. I'm with you, my man, with that, and we must make sure that we get some staying power, city, because we are building a city for foreigners. And it is not time for this. It is time for us to have some staying power. And again, sir, hey, voting is something that we must do, and we must make sure that we grab hold to it, grab hold to the reins, and start riding this bucking horse for some change.
Thank you, Antonio. That's Antonio running over there in District 5, y'all. We're going to go back to another one of these ads, y'all. Listen, they have changed the game tonight.
Bob Willoughby, for District 5 City Council and Transparency. For more information and videos about our city, visit us at fwdistrict5.com.
That was the ad by Bob Willoughby, y'all. Listen, a lot's going on over there in that District 9 race. I don't know if anybody's paying attention besides me, but we do know that Darian George has dropped out. Basically, he said he was getting attacked by his opponent, and he said they were some pretty nasty attacks. And I understand also that he said that someone came down his street in a vehicle. I don't remember if it was a truck or a car, but he said based on other people's camera images of what happened, they came straight for his house and they shot up his car. So he said due to wanting to protect his family and just the stress of it all, it just seemed that it was best that he leave the race. And I think the issue started because there was some issue of him and some alleged, because I don't know, I'm just saying it's alleged, sexual advances for some females or something to that effect. Am I right, though? Is that what it was? It was some sexual advances towards some female or something like that? Don't y'all quote me on that. But, yeah, I'm almost 100% certain that's how that went. And so, anyway, due to that, he left the race. Now, there's also another person in District 9's race, and that's Eric Richardson. I asked Eric to come on tonight, y'all, but he wouldn't do it. But someone went on the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page and sent me a whole lot of information that I really don't understand, and I'm not really sure what they were trying to say about Mr. Richardson, so y'all can go over there and see that for yourself. He was told by the city secretary that he was considered ineligible, and he and his attorney at the city secretary, and basically he is he's not willing to leave the race right now, we'll say it like that. And so it appears that when he was 17 years old, after a night of drinking, he committed an armed robbery. He said he served his time and he's, you know, done his debt to society. And he has been able to be a part of elections in another state, but for some reason here in Fort Worth, he's having problems. And so for that reason, he said he feels like, I guess he's being unfairly targeted you know, or whatever. And so he has decided he is not leaving the race. So I'm just going to leave that out there. He's saying he is not leaving the race. So there's a lot going on over there in District 9, y'all. We'll just see what happens. But Darian George decided that he would withdraw, and Eric Dickerson said he will not withdraw. So we're going to see what happens in the end over there in District 9. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 817-609. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Ms. Hines, and good afternoon, panel. This is James Smith.
Good evening.
I've been listening to your program, and all the answers and suggestions about how to get people to the poll to vote. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be two parades this weekend, one tomorrow and one Sunday. They're going to have speakers and they're going to have food. And I'm hoping they can, you know, present a message to encourage people to go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, you know, living in Fort Worth for the many years that I have, people don't vote because they don't believe things can actually change. You know, you vote somebody in, it's still the same. You know, you can vote somebody in that you think is going to do what they said they're going to do, and when they get in office, you know, they're in office and they don't have to do what you voted them to do. So like Bob said, it's all about education. We have to let the citizens of Fort Worth know that this is their city and it's not the city council's city.
Yep.
So, you know, being in the 76104, and Bob was saying that, you know, we got 24 months to formulate a plan. I don't know if I have 24 months. You know, if we go by the specs of me surviving the the situation that I live in, but. Hopefully the parade tomorrow and the parade Sunday, we can get some good speakers to encourage people to go out and vote.
Can you tell us where those parades are going to be at and what time?
Well, I'm not really sure of the times, but I know one's going to be from Mount Olive on Sunday. I think it's at 11 o'clock. And they're going to march from Mount Olive down to the down to Rosedale.
Carrie?
And then the one, the one tomorrow is going to be.
Would it be possible for him to put it on the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page? The information on there for us?
I think the one for Saturday is posted on there. I don't know anything about one for Sunday.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that just because if you wanted to. Where they're at and the times and that. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I will find that.
Okay,
I'll post it on the or Facebook page. What did you say?
Maybe not this particular election because it's already started and you know, it takes money to do anything nowadays. You have to give the person an incentive to go vote. You know.
Wow.
And it's like I'll get an incentive to go vote, whether it be a free meal somewhere or whatever.
Wow.
At least I got set for the vote because I may not get what I wanted my candidate to do for me once he got it off. So at least I would get some kind of compensation.
Wow.
But the biggest compensation for voting is having somebody that's gonna be there for you in your district and do what you elected them to do. I'll give you an example. Everybody knows that I'm the neighbor of Tatiana Jefferson, and she was murdered on my street, across the street from me. And I wanted to have the a section of Interstate 35, memorialized in her honor. I've got petitions, over 2,500 people in the city and out of the city that want to see that happen, and that hasn't been done yet. You know. The Department of Transportation is waiting on a proposal from the city of Fort Worth so they can work on that, but they haven't got the paperwork.
Mm.
So maybe the next council or the new seated members of the council will get that done for me.
Wow. Wow. Oh wow!
But I'm with Bob on education, so I'm gonna, you know, the next 2 years after this election, we'll be ready for the next one. You have to start early. just like you start Christmas shopping, you know, the day after Christmas, people start shopping for the next Christmas. That's what we
right.
have to do.
Wow.
So that's my that's my 2 cents.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Mr. James, for calling in tonight. Y'all, we're going to try to run this ad by Ricardo Avedia. We had some struggles today pulling it, but we're going to see if this works. Hold on 1 second as we try to play this ad from District 9 candidate Ricardo Avedia. Let's see. Give me 1 second. We're going to try to run it.
I am a working class resident in District 9, lifelong resident. I live on the same street that I grew up on, and I've seen the city change since the 90s when I first became eligible to vote. We need working class representation on city council. We need to hold our taxation without representation is theft. And we need to find less waste in our current budget to ease the burden on our taxpayers. Vote Ricardo Avedia on April 19th, early voting. Thank you.
All right, y'all. That was Ricardo Avedia running over in District 9. Listen, y'all, I want to bring up one last thing before we get out of here tonight. I don't know how much y'all understand about downtown, but I've done a real serious crash course lately. And I'm finding out more and more about Fort Worth every day. But I'm going to pass on what I did learn in the last 24 hours, and maybe it'll help somebody realize just how important it is to get our butts to the polls. Fort Worth has a council manager form of government. That's pretty popular across the country. The council appoints a city manager to administer and coordinate municipal operations and programs. In Fort Worth, the council also appoints the city okay, somebody's got noise in their background. Okay, give me 1 second because this is too important for us to know. Okay, in Fort Worth, the city council also appoints the city secretary, the city attorney, the city auditor. Okay, we got somebody with some noise in their background, and I'm not sure. I think I just isolated it. I thought I did. Okay, give me 1 second to let me see here what was it coming from. Okay, I really need to hit home. I'm just going to mute everybody right now until I finish this. Okay, this is it. Fort Worth has a council manager form of government here. That's pretty popular across the country. The council appoints the city manager to administer and coordinate municipal operations and programs. In Fort Worth, the council also appoints the city secretary, the city attorney, the city auditor, municipal court judges, and residents who serve on city boards and commissions. Their duties also include setting tax rates, approving the budget, planning for capital improvements, adopting all city ordinances, approving major land transactions, and all purchases and contracts. I'm saying all that to say tonight, y'all, these are important jobs we're about to go to the poll and give to certain people or whoever we decide to elect. We need the right people who will think of this city as one Fort Worth, not be divisive along color lines, party lines, you know, classes. We don't need that anymore. That's what we got now. We need a new Fort Worth, and we need a new Fort Worth that is for all the people, that's representative of a one Fort Worth. So when I read the definition of their job duties, I was like blown away thinking we can't just go to the polls now and just vote based on, oh, I like her hair, or he's handsome, or whatever other crazy reasons we decide to vote for people for. But this is, like, crucial. When you think about all the things, they affect our day-to-day lives with the decisions that they make downtown. So saying that to say when you vote, take this into consideration, all of the things that they're responsible for doing, And we want the right people in the right positions who will be intelligent enough, with enough experience, enough wisdom to make the right decisions for us. So we're giving them all the power to do this for us. Okay. That's all I'm going to say on that, y'all. I'm going to open back up the phone lines in my panel, and they're going to tell me what they think. But do y'all get that? I did not know, or I hadn't thought about all the things that they're responsible for doing. Elizabeth, what are your thoughts?
Well, I love that you took the time to say that, because it's so important that people learn that, yes, we have a city council that appoints a city manager. The city manager is a much more influential person than the mayor. You know, just because you see Old Girl Price on TV all the time, I always thought, oh, well, she runs everything. She's the one on TV. No, that is not true. And that's one of many things that I wish that that people would get excited about city government and learn these things, because, you know, yeah, there's, you know, a million people now, I guess, in Fort Worth. But if you decide that you're passionate about what's going on downtown, and you go down there and you speak up and you do it over and over again, you get to mm-hmm. learn the cast of characters, and guess what? You get to be one too. And the next thing you know, you're on the panel on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Yay. But, you know, you can't – 100 people can make a big difference downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And a million people don't make any difference in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion. So
I agree. Eddie, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. The 4% or 5% that vote regularly,
mm-hmm.
vote for the incumbent, if that margin remains as it is, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changes. No, I mean, we will have the same city manager, city secretary, the whole lineup. We will have a continuation of Betsy Price administration. Nothing changes if the 4% continue to vote the incumbents in. Now, in District 6, Jungus Jordan don't realize that his constituency, the demographics of his constituency has changed, but yet and still his loyal base remains the same, because he have not reached out to his new constituents.
Yeah.
That is one point that I wanted to point out, that we need to get rid of all the incumbents if we are assured of a change in the administration. Otherwise, the 4% is business as usual.
Thank you. Bob
Levy.
Yeah, Kerry, I think you did a good job on bringing that out. That was great. This is what I call voter education, what you just did there, and you educated me on some of this stuff here. I didn't know they saw that much power. But I'm going to have to say, I'm not sure. When you say the mayor really is in charge, if you look it up, it's written that the manager job, number one job for the city manager, is to please the mayor. That's written out, and that's what the manager does for the mayor. So in some way, the mayor, even though we have a weak mayor and a strong management, what they call the city, or this kind of, there's a lot of cities like that. But there again, you know, you need a good mayor and a good manager, but. Have you ever seen the pay and the benefits we give these managers? It's unreal. And when they elect one, they do it behind closed doors. They do the meetings. I watched the last time. I knew when the last city manager went out, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, he was making $200,000 a year. And I was calling city council. I said, now, because we're adding another one, are we going to go up on the fee? And, you know, I couldn't really get an answer. But, yeah, we jumped up over $100,000 more for another one, just like that. Plus, they get the car paid for. They get a car allowance. they just get all kind of stuff. I mean, it just, especially moving, when they're moving from Carolina or Detroit here. And I've got to cut this short. I know you're going to go to someone else. But the thing of it is, I don't see why we can't find a manager in Fort Worth. We have almost 1 million people in Fort Worth. You mean we can't find one person that's willing to do that job here that has roots here? That might be better. We always hire someone outside here. I think we ought to look real hard to find someone here that has roots and will do the job for us. That we can, you know, that'll have roots. They'll care about the place and that. But yeah, I'm surprised they control that. So yeah, we need people in. But my way of seeing, the way I see it, it looks like Maddie would be placed in there. I think there'll be a runoff. It looks like Peoples and this is my just a wild prediction. I guess we'll see if it comes out or not. I say there's a possibility of Peoples running against Maddie in a runoff, and in a runoff, Maddie will win hands down because she'll pick up all the votes at Ann and especially Bird's 500. I mean, his Bird, he has a lot of votes too. She'll pick them all up. People won't pick up that many more votes on a runoff. She'll have almost all she can get on the beginning, and she'll have that to go in because the others are so divided. And I think there'll be a runoff because there's so many people in a race, and they only get 50%. So that's just a guess. You know, that's the way I kind of analyze it. But anyway, whoever goes in, I say the faces will change, but the game will stay the same unless we get other people voting. But okay, I'll let you go on to someone else. I appreciate it. I think you did a great job, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you. Y'all, we've come to a close of another show. First of all, I want to say to the callers tonight, thank you. I appreciate your participation always. To my panel, Elizabeth Roper, Bob Willoughby, and Annie Griffin, thank you for your participation tonight as well. We want to say to all the candidates, we wish you well with your races because I understand it has been very stressful, very challenging for all of you all. And the road is coming to a close very soon. So, again, we wish you all the best with your races. We also want to say we're looking for one Fort Worth. We're looking for leadership in our council and our mayor. That is for one Fort Worth. So when we go to the polls, y'all, let's keep that in mind. We don't want division. We want some representation that sees everybody as important. So, again, we want one Fort Worth. Yeah, we know that election night is May 1st, so we're going to be right here sitting in this seat from 7:30 to 9:30 as we do election night watch. Get you some snacks, kick off your shoes, and we're going to watch the poll numbers come in, and we're going to talk about it right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We know that early voting is about to come to a close. It's going to be ending on the 27th. So if you choose to vote early, you have until the 27th to do so. Another thing we want to mention tonight is that if you like what we do here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, advertise with us. Show us your support by advertising with us. And if you want to see change, you got to do something. Don't wait for it to be someone else. Be the change you want to see. And if Let's Talk Fort Worth has inspired just one person to get out into the polls and be a part of the process, we have succeeded. It's been worth it to do almost 2 months of shows just about this election. So, y'all, until next Friday, same bad time, same bad channel. We'll see you then. Good night.
Mm-hmm.